Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Audio bandwidth for the Social Hour is provided by the new Winamp for Android, featuring wireless sync and one-click iTunes import. Now with free daily music downloads and full-length CD listening parties. Download it for free at winamp.com/android. Bandwidth for the Social Hour is brought to you by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is The Social Hour with Amber MacArthur and Sarah Lane. Episode 14, recorded Monday, June 27th, 2011. This episode of The Social Hour is brought to you by FreshBooks, the easy online invoicing service that gets you paid quickly and makes you look professional. Get started with a free package at FreshBooks.com. And by Netflix. Watch thousands of TV episodes and movies on your PC, Mac, iPad, iPhone, or TV instantly. All streamed directly to you, saving you time, money, and hassle. For your free 30-day trial, go to netflix.com/twit. Hey, everybody, and welcome to another edition of The Social Hour. We're at episode 14, and in Petaluma, California, I'm Sarah Lane.
And in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, I am Amber MacArthur. Hello, Sarah.
Hello, Amber. This is not just any show, okay? We're gonna start off with some congratulations. I guess I'm congratulating you on another year. Happy birthday, Amber.
Yes, I know. I was worried when you said congratulations. People are going to think that I'm having another baby, but no, that is not true.
You just made it through.
I am simply another year older, so very excited. You know, it's always good to have a birthday in the summertime. People like to hang out and do stuff. So, so far it's been a great day, and it's fun to be able to do the Social Hour with you and all of our listeners and viewers as well.
Well, it's so nice to have you, especially since it's your birthday. So this is, you know, it's a special day. So we all feel very special along with you. Now, I'm not going to reveal your age, but from what I can see in the chat room, I think that you and I are born in the same very special year. So,
yes, I think we're
happy birthday to you, and may the centennial. Well, I guess it's just my centennial, not your centennial, but it was a special year, at least in the U.S. Because,
well, Sarah, you know, turning 28, it's very special.
Right? Yeah. Especially, you know, what's cool about 28 is that it never stops. So once you hit 28, then the next year you're 28. And then the year after that, you're 28, and it's just so fun. You know, you don't really ever have to grow up.
It's just awesome. I just love it. Well, we have an exciting show today.
We
have lots of links to go over. You know, it's kind of funny with this show, Sarah. I don't know if you've noticed this, but I feel like it's, you know, you never really kind of know what you're going to get. You know, we've had everything from someone impersonating a guest during one of our Skype calls and, you know, running all over the place and me doing interviews in the early wee hours in the morning from Australia. So today, I think we can take it nice and easy because I have to say, I don't have to go anywhere. Hopefully you don't. And
nope.
It's a good day for the Social Hour.
Absolutely. So the first, well, I guess it's a link because it came from Mashable that you sent my way. I had not heard of this, and the idea of sort of song memes based after social networks is not new, but this is a different song. How did you come across this? The Facebook song on Mashable.
It's really funny because, as you know, I do a lot of speaking about social media. And in my presentation, I always show the video from YouTube from a few years ago called, I think it's called the Facebook song or Facebook in Real Life, actually. I think that's the name of it, where this guy from England kind of reenacts Facebook in real life. And I'm always looking for a new kind of fresh video that talks about Facebook. And I just stumbled across this girl from Australia. And like you said, Mashable had profiled her, and she has a kind of a cute voice, and she has said some interesting things about Facebook that I'm sure a lot of people can relate to.
Well, let's at least look at a little bit of this and get a sense of what she's got going on. Oh, she's cute.
Very cute.
The only reason that I'm loving on to see what's going on, but then it's people that just talk away and leave me wondering what to say, and all I really want to do is leave it at that, but they continue to chat. I get distracted then go scrolling up and down the feed and notice all the people that are
she's
really
got really interesting. How is she still doing this so fast?
I don't know, she's really fast.
And you want to talk to someone new. See that someone's
at. Wow, she's really good.
I think you can
kind of see her reading. Because I would be really impressed if she could just remember this.
Yeah, she looks quite young. I would say early teens, maybe?
Cuddles anyone.
Why does someone like me? I wish I had a guy who could give me cuddles, but instead right now I want to die. Shut up, no more
Whoa.
We'll keep that out. So you get the idea. I like this stuff. She's clearly very talented. Anybody who could pick up a guitar and sing like that. She's got this weird sort. It's almost like, this is not like a rapping style. She's singing, but it's going really fast.
She has a very raspy voice. And I think that one reason I was interested in the song, and hopefully we can beep out the couple of minor swear words.
Yes,
but,
absolutely.
I have two cousins of mine from Prince Edward Island who have been staying with me all weekend. They came up to visit. They're 14 and 16. Mm-hmm. And literally, I've been watching them use Facebook, and I find it so fascinating because we're walking around and they're glued to their phones. I mean, literally, I had to tell my cousin the other day that there was a bike in front of her because she almost stumbled over it and that fell on her face on the sidewalk. However, you just realize how much that the Facebook world kind of is a mirror for them of their own lives and what they do and how they're interacting. And when I heard some of the lyrics here, I thought a lot about my cousins because it's just they just use some of these social networks differently.
Yeah, I know the feeling. I have actually been guilty of the using the phone so much that I almost get hit by a car crossing the street sort of thing. It's like it can really be distracting, which is why texting shouldn't be legal when people are driving. But yeah, it does become part of the vernacular. Mm-hmm. And not even like a sort of Amber and I making a joke about liking, you said something and I go, oh, like, it's like there's a difference between that and it actually being ingrained in the way you think, the way you talk, the references you make.
Yeah, and they just kind of live and breathe that world. I mean, it was so interesting because I dropped them off at the shopping mall for a couple of hours, and I said to them, okay, I'll pick you up in 2 hours, and I went home, and then I noticed on Facebook, they were updating every single thing that they did. I mean, they met a cute boy at the ice cream stand, got their manicures, put pictures up of their manicures. I mean, every single minute, they were just sharing information. It was hilarious because I thought, wow, I don't even have to worry about you guys because literally, second by second, I know exactly
what
you're doing.
Was it all Facebook updates, or are they using Twitter at all, or is it anything else?
The 14-year-old just got on Twitter. She's new to Twitter. However, she does like it, but mostly Facebook. And of course, they're texting all the time, and it's just kind of nonstop. And like I said, it doesn't really bother me. I look at it as just the way that they communicate and keep in touch with their friends. And they're still polite, sweet kids. And when it's time, they put the phone down and they can still interact. They're still very social. But it's just they're they just want to share. They want to reach out and kind of share everything.
I think a song like this is it's almost if you've got a little talent and you're doing something that's just a little bit different. I mean, obviously this is just a different style. Oh wow, she's kind of got something special going on. It's the perfect viral video because everybody who's on Facebook, I mean, this is a Facebook-centric kind of a funny song type of a thing, but everyone can relate. And so it's like, oh, yeah, I get that. Oh, she made a funny reference about this or that. Yeah, so it's very relevant. Something that I found recently, Amber, that really blew me away, that was going crazy on my Twitter feed, everybody was sharing it back and forth, is a Tumblr blog. I never know whether to say Tumblog or Tumblr blog or Tumblr site, but you guys get the idea. It's on Tumblr, and it's dearphotograph.com is the direct link. And it is really nostalgic and adorable. And the idea is that you hold an old photo physically in the same the same scene as where the same scene is presently, if I'm explaining that right.
So cute.
I know. So this is kind of like a particularly heartstring pulling one where it's the old man standing next to the park bench where he sat with his wife. I mean, I'm kind of making up the story. I don't really know what the story is, but I assume, oh my gosh, I have to scroll past her. I'll start crying. Here's a little kid in front of the garage of the home. Hard to say how many years have passed, but suffice it to say enough based on the Honda Accord in the driveway. It looks like, oh, I don't know, early 80s or so. Little kid on the stairs. It's really cool. And, in some of the photos you can tell. I mean, it's like this house maybe has been redone a couple of times since those kids sat in the front yard. For anybody who's watching this audio feed, you guys got to go to dearphotograph.com and get a sense of what I'm talking about because it's kind of hard to explain if you haven't seen it. Amber, I don't know how many, if your parents were big photographers when you were a kid, but mine certainly were. I have a lot of photos that it would be really fun to try to recreate in present day because I lived in Oregon for a while and We moved around a lot when I was a kid, and there are houses that, I mean, I just haven't been back to. So I mean, I know where they are, but I've never tried something like this, and I bet I could have some interesting results.
Yeah, that's really cool. It's such a great idea. I mean, I love how people get so specific with the photos and they actually try to match up even the edges. Like, for example, for our listeners, if someone, you know, if there was a picture of a kid who was standing against the stairs and then the person goes back to kind of recreate that moment, they're standing there and the exact edge in the photo of the stairs, you know, matches up perfectly. So it is a lot of fun. I love this site. I didn't hear about it before, Sarah, so thanks for sharing it.
It's really adorable. Oh, gosh. I mean, it's like some of these I have to just look away because they do something to me. It's like there's some sort of, it's like the magic of, it's like, okay, so for example, it's the little kid and looking out the window of the screen door. And I don't know, it's almost like this photograph is, it's like it's happening or something. Again, there's something that happens in my brain because I see something that's a new photograph, but there's an old photograph in the middle of it. Yeah, it's really cool. And if you look at Dear Photograph, it's a very popular Tumblr blog. People are really, it's resonating with people. I mean, they've got 697 notes, which, you know, means sort of either likes or reblogs on that baby photo alone. That's pretty successful.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, they don't all have that much engagement, but for the most part, it's a hit, and it's a really good idea. I mean, it's almost so good.
Why didn't we think of it?
I know. You know, exactly.
I'm curious though, Sarah, just before we go on to the next story, but I think about photos now and I can't even remember the last time I actually printed a photo, which is kind of sad because some of my best memories from being a child are memories that I've kind of expanded on in my own mind based on the photos that my parents have in old albums. But in this day and age, you know, I don't know about you, but I haven't printed photos forever. I might only have a couple of printed photos of my son, which is just crazy. But, kind of a different world, right?
Yeah, I just we've got a nice color printer. It's, you know, it's designed for photos upstairs here at the Twit Cottage, and we got it in. Everyone went, okay, cool, and we never really print anything, so it just sort of sits there on my desk. But the other day, I was at home and looking around, and I have all these framed pictures, you know, artwork. I don't have any photos. I mean, I have some photos, but they've been in frames since before we really were using digital photography, and I just cart them around and put them up at my next house whenever I move. And so I printed out some photos off of the high resolution images of a few Flickr photos that I have that are really nice photos, but I never look at them outside of Flickr because they don't exist anywhere else. And so I printed them out, you know, and made sure that it was dry and took them home and went over to the art store and bought some frames and put them on the frames and put them on the wall. And it's like, wow, it's been so long since I've done this.
Nice.
It wasn't hard, but it's out of the rhythm, I think, for a lot of us.
Get out of that habit. You know, since we are all so warm and fuzzy on this episode of The Social Hour, I think it's a perfect time to talk about our next story, which is Wikipedia's new love button. Kind of an interesting idea. I know, it was so funny. I mean, it just kind of grabs you as far as the headline. I guess the idea is starting on June 29th, there will be a button on Wikipedia, that's their love button, that will allow you to exchange virtual gifts to people on Wikipedia, like virtual kittens or beer, and allow people to inform people that they are doing a good job in terms of updating articles. And the concept being to kind of increase the community involvement and the touchy-feely kind of good feeling that people get when they're actually contributing to a really an article on Wikipedia and devoting a lot of time and energy to making it as accurate as possible.
Got it. So this would be up in the again, this hasn't launched yet, but you can see, get a sense of how it would be integrated into the top nav bar. So you can edit a section, you can view the history of an article, a Wikipedia article, to see what's changed. I guess start is for easy, you know, to find it later. And then you've got this heart. And Mashable's article shows us that you can virtually gift things like a kitten or beer. Let me zoom out on this so you can see it a little bit better. Which, you know, at first I thought, I don't know, this doesn't really seem like anything that I'd want to participate in. Wikipedia also has a little prototype page where it gives you a little bit more information and lets people just try it out to get a sense of this. But I have to say, and I've been guilty of editing my own Wikipedia page in the past, and it's not because I was trying to hide anything. I simply didn't realize how big of a faux pas that was, because I thought, well, if nobody else knows that this is not the right information on me, then I'll go ahead and change it. I'll make a note of it. I'm not pulling the wool over anyone's eyes, and that's just a no-no. And I've gotten negative feedback from Wikipedia editors and users just kind of being like, you can't do that. And I think that that's something that Wikipedia might suffer from a little bit, is that some people get the sense that there's this team of editors behind the scenes that are kind of militant, and if you do something wrong, you'll get chastised for it or get in trouble or just...
It's intimidating, right?
Yeah, it is kind of intimidating, yeah. And maybe this is a little bit more of that goodwill, let's all pitch in, because, of course, Wikipedia is stronger with more editors. I mean, you don't just want editors that are doing this all day long. I mean, it's strength in numbers, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's so funny. A while ago, I interviewed a guy who was one of the top Wikipedia editors in the world. And I believe that they call themselves Wikipedians, if I'm correct. So there's a term for that community. And, you know, they kind of scare me. I don't mean that in a negative way. I appreciate all the work that they do. But I think it is intimidating to go in and think, okay, they're always kind of on top of editing all the articles. And you just don't want to screw up and you don't want to get on the bad side of them. So if this increases goodwill, I think this can be a positive thing for the Wikipedia community. And I wonder at the same time if they're, experiencing competition from people maybe going elsewhere. Like, I'm a huge fan of the site Quickie, which has a great iPad app as well. Mm-hmm. Just, I think you know it too, but Q-W-I-K-I, where instead of just having it all text entry, you can get this interactive story that is read to you by this woman who narrates all these Google images and information that's pulled from the web on a certain topic. So it's a different type of, it's like Wikipedia on steroids, kind of. So I don't know if Wikipedia is decreasing as far as the amount of people who are updating articles, but it would be fun to look into that too.
Yeah, I agree. It'll be interesting to see how this catches on, and if it's seen as something that's seriously supposed to boost morale, I guess, in the community, or if it's just sort of this silly feature that a lot of people don't use. Right. I could see, maybe I'm wrong, I could see some people who have been active participants in Wikipedia and take it very seriously not liking something like this, because it might... I don't know. You get some new people who are trying to have a little bit too much fun, and that's not really the point of Wikipedia because it's so sort of encyclopedia informational. But it remains to be seen. But in any case, it's cool that they're trying to evolve. They're doing
promote the love, Sarah.
Yes, exactly. All right, Amber. You know, it's funny that FreshBooks is our first sponsor today because, as you know, but maybe some of the folks who watch The Social Hour don't know yet, FreshBooks is not only the fast and easy way to set up invoicing services and keep yourself organized and keep yourself on the ball when you're a freelancer and you need to get paid by your clients, but they also enter your name once a week when you log in. And by the way, it's completely free to sign up for an account. You can try it for free, up to three clients for no money at all. But when you do that, if you're watching The Social Hour and you go to FreshBooks.com and go ahead and sign up for an account, your name gets entered into a weekly drawing to win a birthday cake. How about that?
How appropriate.
Unfortunately, we don't have a birthday cake for you, but maybe someone at FreshBooks is getting your birthday cake right now and eating
that
it.
That would be super awesome. Yes, I appreciate it. Send me photos, please. Yes, I love FreshBooks so much. As you know, Sarah, I've been using them for a really long time.
You're the one who turned Leo on to FreshBooks initially. He always credits you.
I just love them. It's so simple to use, really easy to create invoices. It just kind of streamlines all of your accounting work within your business, especially good for, you know, small businesses, but it can work for medium-sized and larger companies as well. I use it on a regular basis, and I always feel so smart because I'm in there, and it's, you know, so simple to just create an invoice, send it to someone, send them a reminder, and even accept money if someone wants to pay you that way as well.
Yeah, I mean, you can get paid via PayPal, straight to your bank account. You can go through snail mail if that's what either you or your client prefers. FreshBooks makes it really easy to work with the needs of many different clients and just the way they like to do things. And it keeps you from having to be the bad guy, Amber. I know that you do a lot of freelancing. I mean, you've built up quite a business doing that sort of thing. And depending on the client, sometimes you've got to be billed hourly or you're on the road and you need to make sure that your invoicing is up to date, so you might want to check in on your iPhone and use the app to make sure that FreshBooks is on top of stuff. You don't want to have to be in charge necessarily of reminding a bunch of people that September 15th was the day I was supposed to get that that check from you guys, FreshBooks can just kind of handle all of the yucky part of invoicing, the stuff that makes organization difficult and sometimes can be uncomfortable. And again, your first three clients are free. I mean, you can use FreshBooks for no money at all, and their pricing is really reasonable. You can go to FreshBooks.com and look at their pricing and go ahead and sign up and get a sense for what it's going to cost you. But honestly, time is money. We all know that. And it can be difficult to keep track of a lot of stuff. And when you are, especially an independent freelancer, mm-hmm. and you're working with a lot of people on a lot of different projects, you just want to keep it all straight, don't you? So FreshBooks.com is our sponsor today. We thank them so much. And it's perfect for you, Amber, because they give out free birthday cakes to people like you.
Exactly, I know.
Except that even though it's really your birthday, it doesn't actually have to be your birthday in order to win.
This is when the deal's not so great, is it, Sarah?
Exactly.
That's okay. If FreshBooks wants to send me over a cake today, I am possibly here all day.
Good. You heard it here, FreshBooks. Amber wants her cake. All right, so we're going on to now a very bizarre story. And I wasn't even sure if I wanted to add it into to our show because it's really not very good as far it's – well, you'll see. Okay, let me just go to the story. This is from the New York Daily News. Apparently, in Utah, a man who was armed with a gun took a hostage. And this is actually a picture of them. How do we know that this is a picture of them? Because he updated his Facebook status with updates on the fact that he took someone hostage and then took pictures with her with updates.
So weird.
What kind of world are we living in? I mean, what was he thinking?
I have no idea. This is one of the more strange stories that I have ever read in my entire life. It just seems like a bizarre thing. Although I will say that in some of the pictures, the woman doesn't look that uncomfortable.
We obviously don't know them well enough to know what her sad face looks like. But yeah, it's almost like they're posing. But maybe he had a gun. She'll probably do whatever he wants her to do.
I don't know. And then he shot himself, which is the sad part of the story. It appears as though he's still alive, although in critical condition.
Right.
But it's just a really sad story. Sarah, you know, in other news, though, I'm just wondering where this story came from, because I'm looking at the other stories that are in the sidebar, and they're all sort of an awful reflection of society.
They are. You're right. Yes. If you liked this story, perhaps you'd like to. Yeah, there are often these stories where you read it and go, whoa, oh gosh, what an awful situation. But it's kind of like you hear on the news, there are hostage situations or similar type of situations where there's a notoriety thing and someone's trying to get attention and it's like they can't help themselves. You know, it's like in the movie where there's a standoff at the end and the killer tells everybody why he did what he did type of a thing. It's like there is some truth to that people are looking for some sort of, I don't know, affirmation that they exist and that people are paying attention. And I guess something like this on Facebook is, you know, it made him feel powerful.
It's just so sad. I mean, the whole story is just so sad. I don't know. I'm speechless there, but not as speechless as I am when I see the headline beside it, like, pig scores two chicks and mom arrested for spraying cops with breast milk. I don't know.
New York Daily News. Don't know what's in the water over there, you guys. But
is this side of joke, Sarah?
I don't think so. No, I mean, I heard about this story from other sources too. It's just listen, social. It's not always a rosy party.
You're right, Sarah. Yeah. It's right. Sometimes it gets weird and ugly in the social world.
Exactly. Yes.
Let's not lie.
We're here to tell you about the seedy underbelly of social.
The wrong side of the
track. Our next story. Now you're friendly with Andy Bao, correct?
Yes, I am. In an appropriate way, though, Sarah.
Yes, not inappropriately friendly. But the two of you, you know each other. I don't know him. I've never met him, but I'm very familiar with his work. I used to read waxy.org every day. And, you know, I'm a big fan of his. And that's why I was very disappointed to read a blog post that he had put together last week that explained why he ended up having to pay a fairly well-known photographer quite a bit of money for creating an 8-bit version of a Miles Davis album cover. The photographer I'm talking about, his name is Jay Maisel. And Andy had put together what I think was a, it was like a tribute album of people who were covering Miles Davis songs. And so the photograph here on the left was the original album cover. It's an iconic cover. A lot of people recognize that. And this was Andy's version of it, which took it down into, you know, that kind of pixelated, I say 8-bit, but I guess pixelated is a better way to way to describe it, image taken from the same image. I mean, if you go down in the blog post, he actually uses other examples of artists who have done this sort of thing with well-known photographs. Jim Morrison photograph, for example, that got kind of artifacty, and a picture of Steve McQueen from a movie cover, and this and that. But apparently what happened is Jay Mazel's people got a hold of Andy and said, this is not acceptable. You didn't get our permission to use this album cover in this way. And he ended up settling for a sum of, I mean, I think it was like
$30,000. $30,000, yeah.
Which is a lot of money. Certainly to me, I mean, if I had to pay somebody $30,000, I'm well in the hole. So the reason that I think this story is really interesting is I think people fall on both sides. Some people say, well, it's unacceptable. I mean, you can't take a picture and use it without permission, even if you change it. The Barack Obama picture, for example, is a very famous case where Shepard Fairey had doctored up a photo, and he ended up, well, that case is kind of complicated, but he ended up having to settle about that in particular. But Andy wasn't obviously the first person to do this, but he didn't end up well for him, and he decided to let everybody know exactly what happened, why it happened, and the fact that he decided to pay some money rather than go into, maybe years of legal fees.
Yeah, I think one of the interesting parts of the article, and you're right, he does have a great site, and I think Leo and I had Andy on Net at Night way back when.
I think so. Yeah, I think I remember
that. Yeah, he was great. He talks a little bit about the 1976 Copyright Act and how confusing it is and how vague it is, and mentions kind of four factors that come into play. The purpose and character of your use, whether it's for commercial or educational, the nature of the copyrighted work, the amount of the portion taken, and the effect of the use upon the potential market. And like he explains in his blog post, it is kind of a gray area and very difficult to determine, you know, who's right or wrong. And he does say in his post as well that settling was not an admission of guilt, and that he believes that it was fair use and he didn't take any of the money to make a profit himself. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of interesting. I think this reflects poorly on the photographer who took the picture in the first place, not to just let these type of collaborative things sort of happen online, especially when, as far as I understand from the post as well, that Andy had donated any of the profits, I believe, to musicians on a Kickstarter, maybe. So there's a lot of moving parts to this story, but it's unfortunate it got to that point.
I agree. It's interesting to watch. There's some discussion in our chat room. Some people say, listen, if you take somebody else's image, that's stealing and it's wrong. In this case, there wasn't a profit that was made, but there could have been. And that, I think, is someone in our chat room says he or she is a photographer, and that this is totally wrong. And especially if you're making a profit, I mean, how could that possibly be acceptable? But then, yeah, you get into that fair use gray area. And I mean, I have worked in TV and news for so many years, and we still have daily arguments. I mean, Tech News Today, sometimes we're like, well, okay, how do we talk about the story and how do we show this particular part of a story and make it fair use? And I've never gotten a set of rules that someone in a bunch of people in a newsroom can agree on that constitutes fair use. It is really, it's a complicated issue, and people have differing opinions, and this is just one artistic example of how complicated it actually is.
It is very complicated. Like, I think of when I was working in daily news, we used to sort of adhere to the idea that we could show 30 seconds or less of any work based on the fact that we were, you know, it was part of a news story, and we weren't necessarily profiting from it. it. What frustrates me a lot, though, and I see this on news programs routinely, is that they forget to credit people. Even when people send in twit pics, and it drives me crazy. You know, they just forget to say, you know, courtesy of. They just kind of show the stuff as their own.
Right.
And so I almost think it's a situation there needs to be a bunch of different rules around of issues like this. And I think the sad thing for Andy is that, you know, here's a guy who for how many years has he contributed to great content around what's happening on the internet, and then this happens to him, you know, and I know you can't take that side of things into a courtroom, but it's unfortunate because he has given a lot of his time and energy to really great content.
Absolutely. Everybody who's actively participated in this discussion in our chat room, obviously there are a lot of, we've hit a nerve. There are a lot of opinions. Write to us. Let us know what side of the fence you're on this issue, on this particular issue, but just sort of the issue in general of fair use and what it means and and what you think. We definitely want to hear about it, and we'll definitely read some of your emails or voicemails if you want to call in. TheSocialHour@twit.tv is our email address. And if you want to call in and leave a very angry voicemail or something that's less angry, you can call 2626-SOCIAL. That's our Google Voice number, which is a local in southern Wisconsin. But that's all. All right, Amber. So, you know, you've been talking about, every time we talk about Groupon, you talk about there's the opposite of Groupon, where a bunch of people, the idea that a bunch of people could get together, or somebody could just introduce a deal that they wanted to get at their favorite restaurant or whatever, and if enough people sign on for it, then a company like Groupon or a competitor would go ahead and honor that. And I'm not sure if you were talking about a service called Ringleader, if you were talking about something that Looped is putting together that sounds exactly like what you were describing.
You know, it's very similar. So the idea of kind of reverse group buying, where instead of a business has the deal, then actual consumers can come forward and present a deal to a business based on getting their friends together. I still can't remember the name of the service that I had mentioned a couple of times in the shows. But it works exactly like this. So it looks like YouDeals is in the same sort of area as far as getting friends to rally together and going to one of their favorite businesses and requesting the deal. So I love this concept, again, because I think with Groupon, not every deal is relevant to you. And at least for me, you know, many of them are totally irrelevant.
Yeah, absolutely. So Looped, there was a TechCrunch story that talked about Looped new YouDeals service, which is exactly what you're describing, Amber, which is let's present the deal to you, Looped. And if it makes sense, then Virgin America goes ahead with it, and they have to honor these vouchers. Virgin America was actually their first YouDeal, and I think it sold out in a very short amount of time, to the point where Looped was like, oh my gosh, wow, there's really a demand, as long as the deal's good, to provide to people. And it makes a lot of sense, because it takes a lot of the having to check in with a site on a daily basis or make sure that you're reading the daily emails that let you know what deals are going on. I mean, if you just had a great idea for here in Petaluma, Bovine Bakery, it's a great bakery. Let's say that I could get two scones for one, and you know, Bovine Bakery says, okay, well, we'll honor that if 50 people, you know, or 100, or I don't know, however many. And it's like, if 50 of us go ahead and do that, then it's like, I just created this great deal. You know, I put my own thing on sale, but it is the strength, the numbers in that case.
Oh, definitely.
I mentioned Ringleader because it was also mentioned in as a competitor to Looped YouDeals. The site seems to be down though right now. I can't get it just came back up. Does this look like something you've seen before?
I know. Sarah's on like the we're on the quest.
I must know. I must know.
I honestly can't remember the name of the company, and I think I actually wrote an article about it recently, but it's escaping me right now. But it's all very similar. So, I mean, it was bound to happen that there was a lot of competition in this space, and the idea that there would even be sort of white label platforms where people can go and actually you can create communities of people, like people who are just interested in travel and can try to establish their own deals with people who sell travel deals. So, you know, everything from kind of software to these one-off deal opportunities for users themselves, I think it's kind of the future. I think it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. That's anybody who's not watching, it's Ringleader, R-I-N-G-L-E-A-D-R. So it's just missing that last E.
Of course it is.
And of course, Looped is L-O-O-P-T.com, and UDeals is their new service that we're talking about. Looped has been around for a while. They're not new, but they are evolving. Daily deals, man. It is quite a market these days. Everybody is trying to find that special angle in order to stand out from the group.
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot happening in that space. Although I don't think I would necessarily want to be a business in that space right now. There's a lot of competition. We should try to get someone to talk on the show about this topic because it's really interesting, the whole daily deals. I think I might have someone in mind, actually, Sarah, for next week. Yeah. It'd be a really interesting conversation.
I would love that. We've actually not had a guest on for the last, I think, 3 episodes now, and which is, I mean, it's fine. I mean, who needs more than just the two of us? But it is really nice to have our guests. So next week we'll
find someone.
We're due. We're due to have a third party school us on something interesting and social.
Exactly.
Next thing you wanted to talk about was how to integrate YouTube into a social media strategy. I think a lot of people still are trying to get their heads around the idea that YouTube isn't just silly videos that you take at home of somebody falling on their head, or you know, how does it actually be a actual business tool?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I just read this article on Fast Company, and it's really a how-to article. I think it's 4 or 5 steps to start using YouTube in your social media marketing strategy. And one reason that I wanted to talk about this is because I feel an enormous amount of guilt, because I always talk about social media and all the things you should do. And I talk a lot about, you know, Facebook and Twitter and blogging. And yet I tend to avoid YouTube a little bit. Clearly, it's an amazing channel to be able to promote what you do in your business. And you can share everything from short little clips to, you know, fuller length videos that kind of promote your products or services. And I thought this article is pretty good because they touched on some things that are important and how you should actually present YouTube videos, talking about thinking of your YouTube channel as a destination, a place where people can actually come and add comments, and you can kind of create a community there as well. And I think we can't forget about how many people are watching YouTube videos, particularly on Facebook. We know now that Facebook is a top 5 video destination online, which means that, you know, it's so easy, Sarah. We've done it. You know, you share YouTube videos on Facebook, it embeds right in the page.
Yep.
A really great way to get people having conversations there. So most of the tips on the Fast Company article, I agree with. They tell you about how to make your video autoplay when people come to your channel. That drives me crazy. Nonetheless, maybe it's appropriate at certain times. And a bunch of other tips right now about, you know, that YouTube is a social network. And I think this is also true. There, like I said before, there's a community there. And the only thing that I would warn people who are starting to use YouTube is that it's probably the one community where I think it's really important to moderate the comments, because the YouTube audience can be very critical and very crass as well. So it's important to keep a real keen eye on the comments that are listed on your YouTube page, because they're not as friendly as some other social networks.
Yeah, that's a really good point. It's not enough just to take your own YouTube channel seriously, but it's like you do have to keep a close watch over who's participating and if that's going to turn away other people who might not understand that's not you. You know, it's not reflective of the message that you're trying to put out. Amber, I'm going to be talking at Blog Her in August.
Cool.
I know. I've never been before. It'll be my first time, and actually it'll be my first time on a panel. So I know. So I'm entering MacArthur Arena, and I'm going to be really nervous. Oh boy, I'm already nervous. But this actually is so applicable. This Fast Company article, and we'll link to it in our show notes because it's long, but there's a lot of really good information there. Because they want, they asked me to talk because I'm sort of a video person who might be able to shed some light on to their writing community on how to write for video and create videos. So it's a lot of bloggers slash writers who might be interested in getting into video, but when is it appropriate and how do you do it? And I mean, I think that for a lot of people, honing their skills via YouTube and really building up that community is the way to go, because the tools are all there. The YouTube community is there. It's just a matter of getting eyeballs, and people are making money there. And it's a really good way to, if you do video right, to focus your efforts. It's certainly not people's only option, but it's the big guy.
And it's become so inexpensive now to create YouTube video. I mean, to create any type of online videos just with the technology that exists out there. And we also can't forget that video is the most powerful medium alive right now. You know, there's nothing to me that has more of an impact than seeing a video from a company explaining what their service does. I know now, and you see this a lot with app development companies, they'll do a short little how-to video. And sometimes I just watch that because I don't want to read through all of the text. You know, campaigns like the Old Spice guy and those type of videos, some of the more, the funnier videos around. It just, I think they really hit you harder than any type of text or even an image could.
Absolutely. All right. So this next, I'm trying to find the sneeze link, Amber.
It's sneezefetishforum.org, Sarah.
Sorry.
Come on.
Do you want to read this email while I try to
I would love to.
To get Dear myself Amber. Together.
I was watching The Social Hour today and found your anecdote about the live sneezes archive quite interesting. I guess some people like it when celebrities, TV hosts, podcasters sneeze on the air because it reminds them that they're human like the rest of us, mere mortals, and are, like the rest of us, prone to losing control when they're technically not supposed to. Still, to compile such an extensive archive is very surprising, although it seems really quite harmless. I followed The Social Hour and Ned at Night for quite a long time, and I think you've actually sneezed quite a few times more than they've listed. I think what makes podcasts like The Social Hour different and successful, in addition to the excellent content, is the relaxed and natural atmosphere that you guys bring. Thank you very much. Impromptu sneezes actually add to that, so I wouldn't worry about it. Keep up the fantastic work on the show. Incidentally, how come you have to sneeze so frequently on the show? I don't think I've ever seen Leo or Sarah sneeze, but you've sneezed or almost sneezed quite a few times. Are you allergic to Twitter or something? Best wishes, Kay.
So sneezefetishforum.org is a real place, and this is a real thread about Amber sneezing on The Social Hour. And in fact, there's a Justin TV archived video that if you go ahead and open it, I was so confused at first because it's the end of All About Android. This is Eileen from All About Android talking. I'll go ahead and mute her. But so I was like, what? This is not even our show. But this was actually, it must have been a day where we were shooting at a funny time because they finished and we started. And as we're setting up, I guess you sneezed a couple times and someone took note of that. And people are very interested, Amber. Very interested.
Very interested. Yes, apparently I sneeze a lot. But just on this show, Sarah, because it's special. Maybe I'm allergic to something in my basement because this is where I do the show. But I find it hilarious that the sneezefetishforum.org actually exists.
I'll say.
You know, I'm not the only one there. There is a lot of other. There is a lot of documentation about other people who have sneezed on air. So, if you're into sneezing, if it's some type of weird fetish you have, there is a place for you on the web.
Yes, you can be social with other sneeze enthusiasts. I mean, it's great. I love this.
Yes, I've arrived. When I saw myself here, I thought this is a milestone for me, Sarah.
Yeah, this is special stuff, Amber. I mean, talk about a birthday present, you know? I don't think I could have given you anything that as fascinating as this.
No.
Sneeze fetishes. It's something for everybody.
I wish I could sneeze on cue, unfortunately. You're just going to have to wait for the next one. Keep watching the show.
You'll never know when she'll sneeze next.
All right, Sarah. So you can take the next email as I stop blushing.
Okay. Next email from Chris, who says, hi, guys. Could you do an episode focusing on social media tools being used by the enterprise? I know about popular options such as Yammer and Chatter, but I'm sure there are others that I'm missing. Love the show, Chris. I'm actually not familiar with Chatter, but I am familiar with Yammer. For anybody who isn't, you can go to yammer.com and get a little bit more information. But it's like a closed group IM client, so that you what's neat about Yammer and the way that you could kind of keep it as insular as you want is that everybody signs up with the same email domain. So, you know, everybody here is at twit.tv. So I would sign up with Sarah at twit.tv. And if I tried to sign up with something outside of that, Yammer wouldn't let me in. So it's a way to keep the group, you know, to keep you honest, I guess. And the idea is that sometimes people want to talk in real time and collaborate and get stuff done and be social, but maybe you don't all work in the same office or you're just better at, you know, via computer. I mean, I know on TNT we talk to each other all day, and sometimes we talk inside our Google Doc, which is almost like a Yammer tool, but
it's an internal tool.
Yeah, but you have to be logged in. Amber, have you heard of Chatter?
Yeah, I have heard of Chatter. I've heard good things about Chatter. And it's kind of interesting because I get this question all the time about social media for enterprise or often social media for B2B. And I've just, if you're wondering why I'm moving around like a crazy person, I have a book here that is all about social media for B2B, so business to business. And it's a really great book. And it's one of the best I've seen that covers this space. So I'll try to find it before the end of the show. Also, I think one of the best communities I've ever seen created on the B2B front has been FOBOH. It's FOHBOH. Uh-huh. And what it is a community for restaurant owners. Cool. I discovered it at a restaurant leadership conference I spoke at. And it's built, I believe, on the Ning platform, at least partially. Mm-hmm. And Ning can be a really great tool to create these sort of internal social networks. So what they've done on FOBOH is fantastic because they've really brought together people who run restaurants and allowed them to kind of help each other and collaborate. I can see the communities like this really working on an enterprise level where you want something that is, it can be more secure and more exclusive than using something like Facebook.
Yeah, absolutely. There are a lot of options. It could be something as simple as putting together a Facebook group for your workplace. Definitely depends on the tools that people like to use and what kind of information you have to use back and forth. I mean, I guess Facebook could be easy for a company where a lot of people might not be comfortable using Yammer, or you don't want to install a bunch of stuff on people's computers and make sure that everybody's on the same page. But FOBOH is cool. Yeah, I've not heard of this either. I'm just looking at their website. It's a thriving community, definitely. Mm-hmm.
It's really great. And you know what? LinkedIn groups are fantastic, too. And I feel like I don't give them enough credit for what they do. But LinkedIn is, they're always launching new features. I don't talk about them all that much because I think we mentioned this many times in the show. It's just my community is, I think, more on Facebook. However, I don't think we can forget that the LinkedIn groups options are really fantastic as well.
Absolutely. Again, if any of you have, I've got this enterprise tool and you didn't mention it just now, let us know. We definitely can always use tips and are happy to pass them along to everyone else in the audience. Our email address again is thesocialhour@twit.tv. And of course, you could leave a voicemail too if you want, or a video. Social cam. We had a social cam video last week, which was awesome. I don't know why more people aren't sending us social cam videos, but do it. Do it now if it's something that's interesting to you. 2626-SOCIAL is our Google Voice number. And, of course, when you send us a video, you don't have to use social cam. You could upload to YouTube or Vimeo or pretty much anywhere that then you could send us that URL so that we could open up the video in our browser on our side and play it. Amber, before we get to our Rad or Fad segment, we should thank Netflix for sponsoring the show because they are awesome. Netflix, of course. I tell you this like you've never heard of Netflix. I know you guys have heard of Netflix, but if you ever want to explain how Netflix is so cool to someone who's not familiar with it, I mean, how do you explain that? I mean, you can instantly access streaming movies, streaming TV shows. You can watch them many different ways via your Mac, your PC, your iPad. I love the iPad app because, of course, I'm on my iPad all the time. Some Android phones, iPhones, a gaming console, your Xbox, your PS3, your Nintendo Wii. I mean, this is all ways that you can watch instant streaming movies. And Leo and I are always joking about how it's so easy to watch just movies that we'd never really want to watch otherwise, but you just press a button and it's already started and it's out of your hands and you're going to watch Step Up 3, the dancing movie.
Of course.
You can also, Netflix can go right through some enabled TVs, definitely through your Apple TV or your Roku. If you're a cord cutter like me, Netflix has become very, very integral to my evenings when I have to stop thinking and I want to start watching TV shows. And what's cool about Netflix is that you can start watching a movie or a show at home or even when you're mobile. If you're at the airport and you have an hour to kill, you can start watching a movie. And then let's say you got to take a phone call and you have to pause it. You can just pick up that movie on the same Netflix account when you get back home. You just launch Netflix and it says, yeah, you want to resume that show or that movie you're watching? Sure do. So it's really good if you're not in one place a lot, but you really like to watch movies and TV shows. Netflix is awesome. By the way, it's not just instant streaming. You can, of course, use their DVD model where you can get DVDs sent to your home address, into your mailbox. You just walk out in the morning, you watch your movies. There's no late fees. There's nothing like that. When you're done, you send it back. and they send you more based on your queue. If you want to start a one-month free trial, here's how you do it. You go to netflix.com/twit. That's how Netflix knows that you came through us. You go ahead and sign up for a month of free movies and TV. Who wouldn't want that? It's awesome. Netflix is the best way. Streaming movies, DVDs by mail, a lot of TV shows. And I mean, you know, this is a good opportunity for you to go back and watch a whole TV series that maybe you missed the first time around. But I mean, that's a good, you know, 3 weeks every night of watching some shows. That's a, can it. Sometimes be really fun, Amber. I don't know if you do that, but sometimes it's almost more fun to wait and then watch it in a batch because you can just devour everything, you know, over and over, and you don't have to wait each Sunday for the next episode.
That's how I watch everything. The Wire, which was one of my favorite series. I watched that, you know, Chris and I watched it back to back. Same thing with Dexter, Mad Men. I'll just watch them all at once, and then I won't get sleep for like a week.
I know the feeling. It's for anybody who hasn't gotten into Mad Men yet. Mad Men, all the seasons coming to Netflix. Got to get on that. It's a great time because their next season has been delayed a bit, so you've got time to catch up.
I'm only on season two, so I need some more.
There you go. Yeah, so you've got some good stuff. Anyway, netflix.com/twit again is the URL. We thank them very much for their support of the Social Hour. And now, Amber, on to Rad or Fad. This is usually your domain, but I have one that I just can't figure out what is going on. So I thought you could help me decide if this is Rad or Fad. This is called Want. It's actually an app. So if you look at the iTunes page, the description that they give, and let me log into my phone while we're on this page. Whoop, that's not my login. The description that they give on the iTunes page is: Want is a mobile service that helps you playfully express yourself by capturing, sharing, and remembering things that you want. Products, objects, food or drink, a haircut, a nap. And you can also want items wanted by others that enables you to always know what's most wanted among your friends, etc. Okay. All right. So you're saying, okay, I think we get the idea of what Want is. So here's the app that I've got running. Whoops. Let me close that Beluga message from MG. Running on my iPhone. So I signed up for an account. I took a couple pictures. This is actually my stream. I mean, this looks like so many of the other photo sharing streams. It's very nicely laid out. But the idea is that, for example, you're like, what, you want a kid? Well, no, I want the tooth fairy because a little kid lost her tooth type of a thing. So it's sort of a, I guess you could say, a gimmicky way to take pictures that have a little bit more of a meaning. You know, I might not take a picture of a sunset because, you know, what do I want out of that? But I might take a picture of a bike because it's this really cool bike that I want. It's not really like, you know, a wish list on Amazon where it's almost more that you would hope that someone would buy you that for your birthday, for example. It's more of just a fun, hey, this is really cool, I liked this, I would want it, and get your friends involved. Let's go to my feed, or let's go to my pictures. So here's me, and I have one want. So I took a picture of some lemon custard French toast because I was like, all right, let me try to figure out how the service works. This was actually something that I didn't really have to want because I had already ordered it and I was about to eat it, but it was very good. But somebody also wanted it. So I can go ahead and see who else was interested in this. I'm just not sure. Okay. So you get the idea, right?
Yeah.
It's cute. I guess it gives people an incentive to be interested in what other people are wanting, what people are interested in, really. I mean, I think want sometimes makes it sound like greedy, like I want this, but it's a little bit more of the concept of liking things or wanting to have things that make them feel good. I just don't know if it's got any legs. Amber, what do you think?
I don't know. I mean, I think it's kind of fun, but I mean, how do you sort of keep building community? How do you keep getting people to use it, right? That's the problem with, I think, apps like this, is that they're kind of one-off fun apps to download and give them a whirl and sort of play around with them, but there's not that traction for any type of longevity. And that's sort of what I would say. So I don't know if I would put it, I think more fad. I think it's kind of a fad.
Yeah.
Sharing your desire.
I tend to agree with you. Rand290 in our chat room makes a good point. The line between liking and wanting is getting blurry. And I think you're absolutely right. I mean, this is very much a take a photo of something that you like and then someone else likes it, but they're just using a different word. I mean, yeah. I take a picture of my French toast and say, I want this. And then someone says, I want it too. But it's kind of like, this is nice, right? And someone says, yes, sir, this is nice. So, it's such a saturated market. I mean, these photo apps are clearly people like to use them, but they can't all be successful. And I don't know if this is different enough to encourage people to use it. So are we saying fad?
I think fad, Sarah, you know, one thing that really bugs me about not just this app, but other apps is when I go to their website for the app to learn more about them and they say nothing about it. Like there's not even, you know, detail. I don't know. I mean, this kind of falls in that category, right? I guess you can just, you know, sign up and submit it and get the app. But I feel like I want
more
content.
More.
Yeah, I had this experience, and I'm kind of embarrassed to admit this, but I was doing a demo. I host this app TV show in Canada, and I was doing a demo of Talking Tom Cat 2. It's a new version of this Talking Cat where you basically talk, and then he repeats what you say. So it's really irritating, but kids love it. Anyhow, they keep bugging you to upgrade throughout the experience of using the app, but they don't tell you what you're getting with the upgrade, and it just drives me insane. Like, I think people are pushing out apps so quickly, they forget that there's other components to the marketing as well, and I wish there was more information on the site. That's my pet peeve. Sorry, Sarah.
I totally agree with you. In fact, when I first went to, and by the way, the URL for this app is want.it, like want it. But when I read the description of what the app does, I had to go to the iTunes page. Because of course on iTunes, they give you a little description because they have to. That's part of the app submission. But I didn't get that from their website. I got from their app store preview page. Where you get, you know, you get some screenshots, but that sort of thing. But it's like, if you were to navigate directly to their webpage, which you would think that they would want, because then they can keep, you know, statistics and figure out where people are coming from, sort of thing, that they would want to give you more information there. I guess the idea for a lot of these apps, and not necessarily for the better, is that they just want, download numbers. So it's like, download it and... You know, if you like it, great. And if you never use it again, then we still get to count you as somebody who downloaded
a download,
the app.
I guess so, yeah.
Type of thing.
So maybe fad.
All right. Well, we're saying fad. Want the app at want.it. If it seems like something that might be interesting to you, if you feel that it's not a fad or anything in between, definitely let us know. But for now, we're going to say fad. Maybe they'll prove us wrong, but maybe not.
We'll see. Hey, Sarah, before we wrap up the show, I should mention I just found that book, which it deals directly with B2B. It's called Social Marketing to the Business Customer. I might have some ideas on the enterprise side as well. And it's by Paul Gillen and Eric Schwartzman. So Social Marketing to the Business Customer. And it's a really good read.
Awesome. Well, yeah. So that was, who was that that asked us? It was Chris, but I know a lot of other people have these sorts of questions because they do send us emails and people are interested in, social media is fun. I mean, we've got that covered. We all know that that's true, but there are so many tools that you can use to really help your business and you know, everybody's got a business somewhere, somehow, and a lot of people are trying to make it socially. So great. Recommendation. And if you want to send me the link to that, I'll add it to our show notes too, so that I don't forget.
I will do it.
Amber, we've come to the end of our hour, and we're pretty much right at the hour. It's 12:06 now. If anybody is watching this later, you can always watch our show live. We do record live on Mondays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, for the most part. I know next week is 4th of July on Monday, so we're actually going to shoot the show live Tuesday. We'll give more information via our Twitter accounts when we get closer to that date. But for the most part, we're on Mondays in the mornings here and in the early afternoon over in Amber's Eastern time zone. But you don't have to watch us live. If for any reason you miss it, you can always just go to twit.tv/TSH. That's our show page where you can subscribe to past episodes. Subscribing, of course, is free. Somebody asked, is there an MP3 MP3 version of this show, or is it just video? It's video and audio. Whatever, however you want to devour our content is okay with us. We try not to leave out anybody who's just listening and not watching, so we try to spell out URLs and so forth. But any way that you want to watch the show is good with us, as long as you do it. And we're also on YouTube, too. Amber, I know that you've been embedding the YouTube version of our shows on your website. So
yes.
We're kind of like, however you want to watch or listen is good, because that means you like
to share
show.
Away.
Absolutely. All right, Amber.
All right, Sarah.
Well, happy birthday.
Thank
happy
you
birthday
very much,
to
Sarah.
You. I hope you have a really, really great rest of your day. I hope your family pampers you and gives you foot rubs and gives you chocolate cake for dinner. And I don't know, whatever else you want on your birthday.
Who knows? There's still a few hours left, Sarah. It could be getting pretty good.
That's right. Okay. Well, I will see you next Tuesday again. We're going to shoot, I think, 9:30 a.m. my time. So that's what, 12:30 p.m. your time. So it's a little bit earlier than we usually do. We'll see how we both look in the morning.
Scary.
And until then, we'll see you online.
All right. See you later, Sarah.
All right. Bye, Amber. Bye, everybody. Thanks for watching The Social Hour.